This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
And my special guest on Bent Notes is the leader of a Hammond B3 quartet that plays blues, groove and jazz. The quartet, which holds his name, started life in 2013 and is called the Peter Jackson... That was an interesting sound. I don't know that that's quite the Peter Jackson we're talking about. The quartet is called the Jackson 4 Quartet, but at Eltham next week, the quartet is launching a new version of the band called Jackson 4 Jazz. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio...
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks, David. That's, well, at least it's not the noise of a hobbit.
No, it's not.
No, which is good, yeah. In fact, I just had a look at the label on my shirt to make sure I was wearing my own clothes. I never lose my clothes, actually.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's right. They're well named. I couldn't resist that. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. Not a problem.
Peter, let's start with something about you.
I came out here as a £10 tourist.
Did you really?
Or the son of a £10 tourist. And my father's a musician. He played in London. He played around town and with a number of groups, worked in studios, had his own, he had about three bands on the go. He was worked with some great people over there. But we decided to come to Australia, and because my auntie said that Geelong was the Las Vegas of Australia.
Geelong,
that's right, back in 1970.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So it wasn't quite at that time the Las Vegas of Australia, but my dad did get on, and he ended up at 3DB and working on a music show there and became a drummer, played around town with jazz bands, played down there at Smackers in South Melbourne back in the early 70s. And so I didn't have a chance, David. I just had no chance of not playing or being influenced by jazz. Especially from an early age. He brought me to all the gigs, even to the point of when I was five, 6 year old, that was taken down to Soho in London to nightclubs like the Flamingo and what used to be sort of the beginnings of Ronnie Scott's. There was a basement back then. I just don't think that the Department of Human Services these days would allow a 5 or 6 year old be taken to sleazy jazz bars in Soho, whether it's in London or Melbourne. So that's where I got my start.
You certainly had no choice in the matter.
Absolutely none.
You were going to be musical one way or the other.
That's right.
The only question was what you were going to play.
Well, I did kick off. I had a fantastic teacher at school, a music teacher, and Alan Foster. And he was a real supporter and enthusiast for the Melbourne trad jazz scene back in the mid-70s. And I got introduced to trad jazz around town. And I was playing drums at the time. And another probably DHS story is that he used to take me out to pubs and I'd be playing drums when I'm supposed to be, you know, doing maths. But
know what I'd rather do.
Yeah, that's right. So I was a drummer at that time, and that's the reason why I play congas now. And played a lot of sort of trad material, but then moved on into, you know, later teenage years, and I thought, well, being a rock star might be, you know,
better.
Eventually ended up playing in soul bands around town and funk bands. But I think it must have been about 1988, there was one of those Japanese, you know, fantastic Japanese pressings came out. There was a whole string of them and from different companies, if you know, high quality pressings. And that was of Mel Torme. And I Like the Night, I Like the Day, I think it was called, the album. I've got it at home. It was just, it just knocked me out. And Mel's voice, you know, The Velvet Fog, of course, I was just entranced. And from there on in, I started listening to singers like Joe Williams, to Cleo Lane, and of course, Georgie Fame, which I'd actually seen as a child, so it was sort of a bit of a circle coming back around again.
It was familiar.
It was very familiar, yeah.
What was it about the voices that caught your attention?
As a singer, what I liked, especially with Mel Torme, is that there's a real sort of, there's the roundness and fullness of the voice, and also a really clear, distinctive delivery is what I find. And I do find, like, so with especially with Mel, and so so much Georgie fame, but that they don't try and overproduce. They do keep things quite simple, and I'm a simple sort of guy. So I just find that delivery. I just found a really not great delivery in their voices. Yeah,
just smooth and subtle.
Oh well, yeah, absolutely.
They managed to get there without appearing to work at it.
Yeah, I know Mel Torme did really work at it, and especially when you look at it at what he's did. From the really late 30s all the way through into I suppose his best years through the 50s and then into the 60s as well. Yeah, it's I sort of followed Mel quite a bit.
Now you lead the band at the moment, the Jackson Four.
I believe so.
Well, it's got your name on it.
That's right.
So I assume you might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Have you always had a sense through your musicianship as you've grown up that you needed to lead a band at some stage?
Yeah, well, I think, suppose, once again, from my father, was that he was the band leader of his bands. And
so, again,
had
you had no choice?
No choice at all. I think it's also, too, is that with direction of where I want to go in musical styles and then just also sounds, if I look at where Jackson 4 has been, when we started in 2013, it was very much to put together a Hammond-based quartet, but with Latin beats and more New Orleans style and blues mixed in. Over a number of years, the last 4 or 5 years, that's developed on into being, after visiting New Orleans, New York, I just started to introduce more of those rhythms and becoming a much more confident conga player as well. Started playing around much more with rumbas and mambos and salsas and sort of thing with the Jackson 4, as what's now called Jackson 4 Blues, not to confuse people.
I did wonder about that.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a vexatious point of how I take this band in two directions, and I thought about two different names. I thought, no, I'll just keep it simple. Jackson 4 Blues, Jackson 4 Jazz, and people and then get to know what's happening. But the development of that has been that with meeting John Wade 3 years ago, I was just knocked out with John's playing. He stood in for Gary Jones a number of times on Hammond. But John started taking us in different directions.
Let's find out a little bit more about that shortly. But I'd like to hear a little bit of the Jackson 4 in the original incarnation, perhaps. And you've got a couple of EPs out.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got one called Love the Life, was 2015.
Yeah.
And then Cool Cats, which is very nicely coloured. Leopard?
As we say, it's the leopard skin. It's Jeff Mead's saxophone player's underwear.
And there's a piece on here called Three Cool Cats.
Yeah, that's an old Coaster song.
I reckon we should listen to it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You've been talking about the band developing and taking on a new keyboard player for the new version of the band, but you're telling me that you've got two bands now, both called the Jackson 4.
Yeah, the distinguishing feature in the name will be Jackson 4 Blues and Jackson 4 Jazz. So Jackson 4 Blues features Gary Jones on the Hammond organ, especially blues musicians and people who work in the jazz swing area would know Gary quite well.
Gary's been with you since day one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I played with Gary many years ago. We got together in 2013 and so, but yeah, been there since day one and has been very much sort of musical director in some ways of that outfit. Last year, after working with John Wade, we found ourselves lucky enough to pick up a gig at a place called Jasper's up there in Goldie Lane, a bit of a hub these days.
It is becoming that, isn't it?
Yeah. And we found that with John's playing, he was adding a whole new sort of sound to the band, and also stylistically and the syncopation and the direction of where the songs were going, challenged the rest of us very much so, which was great. We needed that, and it also inspired us. For me, as a vocalist, as a singer, I was able to be able to work and add new parts to the songs without going over the top. It just added a new fresh sound to what we were doing and starting to take us in this new sort of more jazz direction, if you want to call it that loosely. Once we started playing at Jasper's, and that's become very regular now, we thought, well, let's formalise this a bit more. And I put my sort of thinking cap on and thought, how do I put this into one band? And I thought, no, we'll put it into two bands, but we'll have them associated. So Jackson 4 Blues and Jackson 4 Jazz. And practically we can share the same website, the same, you know, all those things. Otherwise you've got to set up all that new sort of entity again. So
there are a lot of practical considerations.
There is. It's a lot of practical, but it's also because there's also a continuation and where we're taking the songs that have been built with Jackson 4 Blues in a new direction, adding new songs, of course, songs by new artists, and hopefully over the next few months, once I'm not playing as live so much, so we've been doing 3 to 4 gigs a week, is to actually sit down and get some new originals into the band, or get some originals in.
Some originals with a jazz feel.
Yeah, I think what we'd be looking at is, with John, is that John comes from also very much his influence and his direction, if you listen to his tracks, which he's working on at the moment, is very much blues influenced and foundation in the sort of Georgie Fame style, which I think is where the two of us connect, is that he's got a very strong influence from Georgie Fame, so have I, and I think that's where the spark has come from. So I think when I listen to what John's doing with his group, the Melbourne Jazz Quartet, Jeff Clue.
And they're performing at Eltham next week as well.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so he's very busy boy. To race around, he'll have to have two Hammond setups.
He's performing at 6 o'clock on stage number one.
Yeah, that's right, and we're at 3:15.
You are.
He's got to be a busy boy that weekend.
So, fittingly, you're launching the Jackson 4 Jazz at the Eltham Jazz Food and Wine Festival.
That's right. It would be a good opportunity to introduce the band, give some indication of where we're going. Like, we've taken a Willie Nelson song and we've given it, I would call it a Mel Torme twist.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. We haven't got any recordings yet of the band, but we're about to it's just under a month now. We'll do some live recording at Jasper's, we hope.
Oh, very nice.
On the 22nd, 29th of March.
Well, keep us in mind when the recordings are ready. We'd love to have you back in studio and be able to feature them.
Absolutely. No, I'd love to do it.
But if we want to see the Jackson 4 Jazz in action beforehand, we can see you next week at the Eltham Jazz Festival.
That's right. I think, we're on the Eltham Home Timber and Hardware stage, which was the commercial play stage. We're still on commercial place, I believe. We're there at 3:15. We'll be giving John a really good run for his money with some of the material. And
he'll be working hard that day.
He certainly will.
He will indeed. And so it's yourself and John. We better mention the other members of the band.
Okay, we've got Jeff Mead on saxophone. Jeff, for the horn players out there, he's played with, he still works with a lot with the Western Port Big Band and has done a lot of musical direction with them. He also plays with in blues group called with Andrea Marr and with us, of course. On drums, we've got Nick Merrish. And I've played with Nick for the last 30 years through a whole heap of bands. And now joining up with John, we're hoping to take this in a new direction.
Sounds great.
Thanks.
Looking forward to hearing the band next week, or the bands next Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many acts on next week. I mean, one of the things about the festival is that being all ages, being family, it's really accessible. What I've found is that there's a lot of fun that's happening, not just on stage, but, of course, in the audience. I just find it a very engaging, accessible, fun and friendly festival.
In a very accessible location.
Absolutely.
If you ignore the Jackson 4 Jazz and the Melbourne Jazz Quartet, do you have another favourite in the program that you think is well worth seeing, other than all of them?
Yep. Oh, look, I actually have a bit of a soft spot for Shiraz.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Trad jazz done the new way.
Well, I think, yes, you can say that. That's right. Mm. And I just do enjoy their approach on stage, that they make it a lot of fun. The audience, when I've seen them, has just for people who haven't seen them before, they just warm to them straight away. And at the end of the performance, I see people smiling and not just clapping and laughing. I think, well, if you can do that, and for me that's one thing too, is that jazz also needs to be entertaining.
It does.
And that's why I like Shiraz.
They are very entertaining, particularly Matt on his trombone. I think at Marysville last year, I think he was playing the trumpet actually.
Oh, they swapped.
It was quite off-putting to look at that Matt with his big top hat and a huge beard.
It's not fair.
Just playing this little tiny trumpet. It was a bit odd. Peter, thank you so much for coming in tonight. It looks like we've got our afternoon set, the Jackson 4 at 3, Jackson 4 Jazz at 3:15, Shiraz at 4:30, and the Melbourne Jazz Quartet at 6, alongside all those other acts, and of course Vince Jones there at 7:30. What an amazing weekend it will be up in Eltham.
Yep, I'll be there early, and I'll be leaving late.
No doubt, indeed. Well, I reckon we need to hear some more music, Peter, before you go.
Sure.
And we should say, of course, that the music director for the festival is Faith Britton, and she has done a superb job. We had Faith in before Christmas talking about the festival. It was really interesting to hear what
she's done. Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
The acts together. Just an amazing job.
So I've seen the program, and you can get the program online and download it. It's really easy and clear. I think it's a great the flow of acts across the stages, across each day. I think it's programmed really well.
Mm. Elthamjazz.com.au. What's your website, Peter?
Funny enough, jackson4.com.au.
Fantastic. We're going to have a listen to a piece of music that's actually come from John's other band, the Melbourne Jazz Quartet, and it's called The New Hip.
Oh, fantastic.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.